Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey, presented by Betches Media. This is an exploration of all pop culture, from the classic reality TV moments of the past and present to the latest Daily Mail headlines and everything in between. We'll dive into all the infamous and notorious messes you can't stop watching. We're looking at you, Tom Sandoval. Folks, welcome to an all-new So Bad It's Good with Ryan Bailey. This is your pal Ryan, and this is your Tuesday episode. Did everybody have a good President's Day? Did everybody celebrate their favorite presidents? I hope you did. My favorite president is Michael Douglas from that movie, An American President. And a close second is Bill Pullman from the movie Independence Day. Those are my two favorite presidents thus far. We'll see what the future holds. But I hope you got to have a vacation day. I hope you didn't have to work. But now we are back at it. We did a full pop culture roundup with Sophie Ross. So if you didn't listen to that yet, go listen to that. But today we have a fantastic guest. We have an insanely good entertainment reporter. Her name is Lene Brody, and she is fabulous. I had never gotten to speak with her before, and I was recommended her by a friend over at Betches who I work with. And she was just fantastic. I love getting to listen. I'm very weirdly shy in my real life, but it is so nice to have a podcast sometimes where you get to geek out and find out what people do and how they do it. And when it's based around something that you deeply love, like entertainment and pop culture, I just get so excited. And I think you can hear it in my voice. You can hear it in my voice when you're like, oh my God, we're speaking the same language. I get so genuinely excited. And normally, I mean, my BPM's like under 20 beats per minute in my normal life. I'm just laying there watching TV. So it's so exciting to talk to these people who have made careers out of covering things that I always just consumed. And it's so exciting to be a part of that ecosystem. And you know what was also interesting about Lene? Many things, but, you know, being in this world of reporting and, you know, making me aware of how it is all about relationships. It's about the relationships you form and the, you know, being able to build those relationships so you can get information, so you can get interviews, so you can report on a story correctly. And I think that's such an interesting thing that I sometimes forget. So I don't know. I love this interview. I hope you did. I hope you really, really dig it because I did. I can't wait to talk to her again. But let's talk about a few things before we do that. How you guys are good, right? Okay. I think so. You're good. I hope so. Let me tell you, I'll speak a little bit about the Watch What Crappens Golden Crappy Awards on Saturday. And this is the second live show I was able to be a part of. And I did one over the pandemic that was online. And even then, I remember doing that. And I was so excited for that, to do it online. And I remember being backstage in the digital room that they had like the presenters in for that one during the pandemic. And I remember Tom and Ariana were back there and Sandoval brought out Jax's chunky sweater. And I remember just being blown away to see such a precious artifact. Like, this is what something like Indiana Jones would fight. Like, this belongs in a museum. I remember, I mean, and now think how far we've come from that day of Sandoval and Ariana showing a chunky sweater. Oh, the way we were. They had it at the Palace Theater downtown. Last year they had it at the Wiltern and it was so rainy, so gloomy. I mean, really just a rainstorm. And weirdly enough, the rain did start after the show that night and it has been raining off and on since then. And I guess we're in for like two more days of rain here in Los Angeles, which is great. It's very cool. But it was great. What I will say, I mean, I've spoken at length about how much I love and admire those guys, but even more than that, it's just how brilliant they are together and separately. They've been doing this for 12 years. Imagine that, 12 years. They are at the top of their game. They're going to do live shows overseas now. But more than that, it's just their fandom And I don't even want to call it fandom because it feels more of a, maybe their community. That's the right word. It is just amazing. I mean, like, people were losing their GD minds out there. People were screaming out things. Some girl was telling me somebody like passed out right behind him. Somebody threw up. Somebody charged the stage. I mean, it's like a wrestling event. It is wild. And Ben and Ronnie are the captains of that crazy, insane ship. And it is so fun. So you get there and we were at this backstage area, which was like a concrete slab or something, but they had drinks and some appetizers laid out. And there was this amazing photographer taking photos. And it was always great to see who are the other presenters. So I got to see Danny that I haven't, you know, I talked to him on the show a little bit ago, but I haven't seen him live in person for a minute. So it was so great to see him in person and talk about what we're watching. We commiserated on getting tired of certain Housewives shows and just the grind sometimes. And that's the exciting thing, to talk to other people that do this and that do it at such a level and have been doing it way longer than I have. But it's great to ask them questions of like, hey, are you getting tired of this? What did you find about this? Isn't it interesting to deal with somebody like, you know, to deal with fan? Like, it's a very interesting thing to get their perspective on. But Diallo Riddle was there, who has been on this show before. He's great. Christina Ariel was there. She's great. I got to meet Noor from the Reality Is podcast. She was there. Let's see. Oh, this was exciting. I got to meet Nia Renee Hill. Nia Renee Hill, if you remember, she popped up on an episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills this season as Crystal, Kung Minkoff's friend. And I got to see her, and we kind of knew each other from online, but I think she's going to come on the show, and she was fantastic. Miss Sheena Shea was there, and Sheena is always just a trip. Like, Sheena's great. Like, Sheena, I really, really, really like, because, you know, she's just so Sheena. Like, she's so Sheena. And it'll be interesting because I'll ask her questions now. I'll be like, hey, I was joking around with Ben and Ronnie. They were taking pictures with Sheena and they were talking about what they were going to do because Sheena was a surprise guest at the beginning of the show. And they're like, oh, we'll ask him some questions. Don't worry. It's not going to be insane or anything. And I was like, ask if Schwartz is a good kisser. And Sheena's like, I wouldn't know. But I did talk to her after I presented. Everybody was down there. And I talked to Sheena for a long time because I was talking about Rachel and Tom. And I was just saying, hey, you know, Rachel went out there and did therapy. And you know, Tom, but, you know, her opinion was very interesting, though, of thinking that Tom was very brave to do the show. And I was like, Sheena, I think, you know, like, he needed a paycheck. He still wants that kind of, that jolt you get from, like, being currently just out there on TV all the time. But it was an interesting conversation that I had. But I will say, it's like, just sometimes getting critiques myself now, you start to think about things in a different way, because I was just like, the amount of shit Sheena gets on a daily basis is wild. And I feel like, I mean, I just don't know how reality stars, and I mean, I guess anybody in the pop culture landscape, I don't know how they survive. I don't know. Like, anybody now, if you open some kind of social media, even if you think it's relatively like, oh, this is hands down amazing, you are going to get 20% of people that you're like, that sucks. You suck. Go hurt yourself. It's horrible. And that's the stuff that I think kind of shocks me. And I'll even find myself, I'll even be doing those things of this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. And sometimes you actually forget to remember that there's a person behind that. I mean, but sometimes things are so egregiously bad that I think it's okay to really come down hard on somebody. I don't know. What else? I mean, just everything was great. It was, oh man, I presented with Kate Casey, you guys. I love Kate. I'm talking to her later this week. She's got a live show coming up in Orange County, I think next week, that you guys should go check out if you live down there or in the Los Angeles area. But Kate, man, she texted me earlier in the day. She was like, I'm at a frat party with, I think, some kids' friends. I don't know. But Kate came in hot, man. I think she had done a couple tequila shots potentially, and I was with her backstage, and I've known Kate for so long now that it was so funny to see her that loose. And then when we hit stage, Kate was like, who wants to drink with me? Who's going to be here after the show? Who's going to drink with me? Which, by the way, we literally left stage and Kate like took off. So I was just like, but it was a great, like, Kate came in like a wrestler, like, Who's down with the sickness? Let's go. I mean, and then Kate like went out and started saying that she hated Alexis Bellino, which I thought was, I mean, fair, but also hysterical to come out of Kate Casey's mouth. And I said to Kate afterwards, she's like, oh, is that horrible? I'm like, no, more people will be talking about this moment, trust me, than others. Like, I mean, this is a great moment. That's what you got to do. Like, notes, like I took notes. Next, I mean, God, if I get to do it again next year, I'll probably try to get Tamara to arm wrestle me. I'm like, Tamara, you arm wrestle me now. You too, Freddie Mellencamp, on the mat, cage match, toe to toe, let's go. But no, I have nothing. It was just a really cool experience. I was really honored and lucky to be there. I mean, I wish I could say some shit that would actually, I don't know. It was great. And it was great to see everybody so happy. That's always really exciting. Yeah, I have, Miss Patricia, she won an award and was live by video. And I briefly talked with Miss Patricia today and, from Southern Charm. And I'm, always tickled to be talking with Miss Patricia. She was great to see her video. Ariana won an award. She accepted via video as well. Angie Katsunavis won an award. Jessel won an award and did a video speech that they played, which was hysterical. And Pavitt was in it as well. Oh, this was some tea, you guys. I guess Heather Gay allegedly unfollowed Watch What Crappens. Supposedly, I don't know if this is right, because Angie won an award. I don't know what it was. Maybe it was Reality Von T's thing, but Heather Gay unfollowed Watch What Crappens. And listen, I've been in those Heather hole before. I mean, Heather Gay unfollowed me kind of about a year ago or something. And Heather's very interesting. I think it's like, Heather, you can't act like you're the funny one and then be so precious about people making jokes about your show. I mean, I just don't think that's the best look at all when you're trying to present as the funny one. And I find that really interesting. Like, and Watch What Crappens, that's an institution. You do not be unfollowing Watch What Crappens. I have a feeling she will rectify that mistake within this next week. And if not, it is war on Heather Gay. Proof, timeline, receipts. Yeah, so that was great. You guys, I gotta tell you, we're skipping around here. You know how I'm consuming audiobooks at like a really fast rate now. Like, I love listening to audiobooks. I used to not like it because I thought it was cheating. I thought, you know, you gotta read the written word with your eyes and not read it with your ears. But then I was like, there's just no way I can, you know, it's easier for me to have an AirPod in and listen to books. And it's really reignited my passion. And usually the only books that works for me with fiction books don't work for me with audiobook wise, but nonfiction, celebrity autobiographies, they all totally work. I told you, I think already, but I started listening to Barbara Streisand's autobiography, My Name is Barbara. It just came out like around Christmas time. And this thing is 48 hours long. And I got to tell you, I'm 10 hours in and I think I want it to be 100 hours long. I love Barbara Streisand, but I'm not an insane Barbara Streisand fan. But I just love people talking about their process. And she has such her memory, her recall. I mean, I'm in the 60s right now with her, where she's like married to Elliot Gould, the actor, and she's starring in Funny Girl on Broadway. And just her, just old Hollywood, telling stories about Frank Sinatra, telling stories about Leonard Bernstein, and all of these kind of, you know, Hollywood legends. It is just so amazing. And the way she speaks, her voice, you fall in love with voices, right? I do that a lot. The other voice I really love is David Sedaris. I love his speaking voice. Now, it's a little deceptive too, because I do listen to audiobooks and podcasts at a much higher rate than they actually are recorded, because I find it very slow. So I always amp it up. And then when I hear them in real life speak, I'm like, why are they speaking so slow? But regardless, Barbara Streisand's lilt, the way she speaks things and the way she's reading her own book, it pulls you in. It makes you feel like you're talking to a friend. And I know I'm going off on this and not realizing the obvious is that, oh, that's what podcasts are for as well, right? You kind of really get in with a voice and you really feel like you're a part of something. And you are. Like, I think that's the purpose of these things. That's the purpose probably of writing an autobiography, is being able to open up yourself and tell about what you've been through and what you've learned, and that you were a part part of this as well. And I think it's just, I can't recommend it enough. And I gotta say, I mean, you don't even have to be a Barbara Streisand fan, I think, to appreciate this. I'm really, really digging it. So that is a recommendation. That's a good old So Bad It's Good recommendation from me to you. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yeah, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So, the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Let's see here. Oh, the People's Choice Awards were last night, were Sunday night, aired on NBC. Now, the People's Choice Awards are allegedly voted by the people, but this is wild, though. Like, the Best Reality Show Award went to the Kardashians, and, you know, I actually stand up for the Kardashians. I actually do enjoy their Hulu show much more than I did the later seasons of their E! Show, but there is no reason that the Kardashians should ever be winning a People's Choice Award when it's in the same category as this past season of Vanderpump Rules. There should be no way in hell, and that's when you think, man, these things are rigged. These things are completely rigged. Now, the frustrating part is that nobody from the Kardashians came to accept the award. Khloe Kardashian did a video saying, like, oh, I don't deserve this. And she couldn't come because she said she had a migraine. And I'm very frustrated with Coco because Khloe did those Nurtec ads for migraines. Khloe, you should be not suffering from migraines anymore if you are taking Nurtec ad dollars. You should not be suffering from these bad migraines. You should be popping to Nurtec and then getting in the car and going to the People's Choice Awards. But the big scandal of the night, folks, is that Billie Eilish was caught on video talking to, I believe, Kylie Minogue, the legend Kylie Minogue. And she was talking to her and she says, oh my God, what's going on here? I can't, like, there's a lot of TikTokers here. Can you, like, something like, there's a lot of TikTokers here. Can you believe that? We don't need that here. And they did have a lot of reality stars and a slew of TikTokers that walked the People's Choice Awards carpet and showed up to the event. And I don't know. I was wondering what you guys think of this. Now, social media influencers, do they deserve to be brushing elbows with the higher-ups, with the Billie Eilishes, with the Kylie Minogues, with, Robert Downey Jr., with these people? Like, do you see Billie Eilish's point? Like, I think there is this kind of thing of, like, that is, I don't know, like, we're holding on to the last bastions of, like, old Hollywood, and social media, I think, you know, it gets so many eyes on it, but we consume it much differently than we do old Hollywood things like movies, TVs, music. You know, those things are considered gold, even though I think, you know, there are more eyes and ears on social media things as well, but it seems so digestible and almost disposable, like toilet paper in a sense. Is that, and they're not looked down on because they are making really insane amounts of money. But even I think, yeah, it is weird to see somebody that got famous for, like, you know, blowing fart bubbles on TikTok, you know, rubbing elbows with John Hamm. There is something utterly ridiculous, but it's the People's Choice Awards. And, you know, if they do this at the Oscars, I would have an issue. But I do think it's interesting that there is a class system within an award show. Is that, you know, and that also the people behind the awards are like, we want to get this out there. We want to get people to be making TikToks about this. We want to, you know, reach out to the kids that are watching these things on their phone. So why wouldn't we invite all of these people that all the kids are watching? I've said this many times that my niece and nephew, they don't really watch movies and they'll watch certain things on TV. But even the things they watch on TV, they'll discover like a show from like my niece started watching Chuck from NBC, like that. Remember that show Chuck on NBC, like the with Zachary Levi. Like she started watching Chuck. I was like, where did you even find Chuck to even watch? Like, how did you hear Chuck was a show to watch? But like, they don't like sit there and consume movie. Like, they would rather watch YouTube videos. They're not even allowed on TikTok yet. But sometimes I know my niece kind of has a workaround and will go on YouTube, and like, people will put up their TikToks on YouTube. And I was like, very wise, very smart. So I don't know. It's interesting. And we talk a lot about the last of the movie stars and the last of certain ways that we consume music and streaming and things like this, is that these award shows, you're kind of bumping up against that. And I think kind of even old Hollywood, and Billie Eilish is still very young, but Billie Eilish is young, but she's at the, like, she's at the top. She's about to win her second Oscar. I mean, imagine that. She is still in her early 20s, and she's about to win her second Oscar for the Barbie soundtrack. Isn't that wild? So, I mean, she is treated like gold. And for her to have to rub elbows with TikTokers, I can see where that would be, I don't know, where that one might give me pause. And also, you don't want to talk around these TikTokers because they're just going to make some kind of 50-part video about your behavior at the People's Choice Awards. Which, by the way, have you guys heard about this lady? We're going to talk about this, I think, later this week. Her TikTok account is Reesa M. Teesa, R-E-E-S-A-M-T-E-E-S-A. Now, she did a 50-part series that is entitled Who the Fuck Did I Marry? And some of you guys might know exactly what I'm talking about and have spent hours watching every video. But if you haven't, maybe catch up and we will come back. Maybe I'll do a whole Patreon episode about this, because she did a 50-part series. She's an excellent storyteller, but basically got married to a guy over the pandemic. He was saying all of these things. A lot of them turned out to be not be true at all, but each one of these is another part of the story. And it is just a wild ride. And it's something that I'm sure somebody will option to be a movie. Like, I bet, I swear to God, I bet this has already been optioned to be a movie. Like, that's just how society works now. But already, the first video of this has 7 million views on TikTok, and I bet by tomorrow morning it'll be around like 10 million views. So let me know if you've seen that and what you think of it, but I would like to talk more about it. But that's what I'm saying. Like, by the Oscars, maybe Reesa M. Teesa will be presenting. Like, who knows where this heads? I think it's kind of a, it's the Wild West. I mean, we always say that in terms of podcasting, is like, people are like, how do you monetize it? How do you get it out there? There's so many podcasts that nobody listens to at all. So how do you even break past that? But it's the same thing throughout, like, all social media, is that they're trying to discover how they can monetize, how they can do this, how they can do that. How can they get people's attention to sell soap? They just want to sell advertising dollars. So at this point, I think everybody, these people behind everything, are rethinking everything. And that's how you get TikTokers at the People's Choice Awards. Okay, anyways, off my high horse. There are so many other things I want to talk about, but I'm going to talk to you on Wednesday too. And I got to wake up early for an interview. I'm interviewing somebody from The Traitors, a Duchess of Deception. Yes. So without further ado, she is an entertainment reporter. This goes everywhere. We talk about the year anniversary of Scandoval, which is coming up, I believe, this week. We talk so many other things about reality shows. She talks about her her time in the biz. We talk about the Super Bowl. We talk about it all. And I just thought she was fantastic. I think you're going to love her. Have a great day, you guys. If you like the show, give it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We're going to be doing a Patreon live this upcoming Monday, where we'll talk about all our favorite shows. You can ask any questions you want. It'll be at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time this upcoming Monday. You can sign up at patreon.com/sobaditsgood. And that is it, folks. Oh, also, I am hosting the Jeff Lewis after show. It's called Jeff Lewis Extended on Radio Andy, Sirius XM, Channel 102, Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I am the only host that day, but I do know that Jeff and Shane and I think Doug are going to come in, but I'll be running that ship. So call in on Wednesday. Support your boy. Let's have good conversations on Sirius, and that should be a lot of fun. Without further ado, ladies, Lene Lee. Without further ado, ladies, sorry, and gentlemen, Lene Brody.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Folks, welcome back to So Bad It's Good, presented by Betches Media. Today, I love these episodes because I get recommended somebody that I'm like, oh, you should know this person. And then I'm like, oh, I should know this person because they're an entertainment reporter and they love Bravo. They were just at the Super Bowl. They've moderated a BravoCon before. They come highly recommended from people that I respect. So I'm like, hell yeah, I want to talk to this person. And it's great because you get to kind of see where these conversations go. And I always love to hear how somebody else consumes media or consumes reality television and to see where they stand on all things Vanderpump Rules, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, Jennifer Lopez. We'll see what we get to today. So without further ado, the one, the only, Lene Brody. Lene, thanks so much for being here.
Hi, Ryan. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, you've written for People. You've written for, I mean, most recently you were at The Messenger, which like shut down randomly. So that's got to be very exciting and scary for you. But you've been in this business for a while now. And I just think that's like amazing because I love entertainment reporting. It's one of my favorite things, like to read and to like have people that pass these messages on. And how did you get into any of this to begin with? Have you always just loved pop culture, or, you know, how did you get into the business?
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot. It's kind of a fun story. I knew I wanted to do something in TV and I loved celebrities and I loved news, just news in general, everything from Dateline 2020 to the Today Show to Entertainment Tonight. So when I was going into my senior year of high school, I cold called the news desk at Entertainment Tonight. I like called Paramount, like, you know, 310-555, whatever their number was. And I just asked to be connected to the news desk. And I just said, I am in college and this is my dream internship, but I don't know anybody. But I promise I'll do a better job than whoever you've got. And so the girl's like, send me your resume. And I like to say that I am pleasantly persistent. That is like how I'd like to label myself for my publicist friends out there. Shout out to them. I'm sure they could attest to that. And I just, you know, politely followed up and I got the internship. And the first day there, I had to file tapes. Okay, so like here I am showing up thinking I'm going to be like rolling.
And this was at Entertainment Tonight?
Yeah, Entertainment Tonight. This was in 2007. And I get there and they're like, okay, so here's your box of tapes you're going to file. And I was like, what? So they had the old VHS tapes where you would literally squat, grab a tape, reach up high, file it next. And you would just do that all day. My quads were burning from one day. And day two, it was the day Paris Hilton had to report for jail. And somebody had and they had somebody that their last day was the week before on the news desk. And so I saw this woman and like her energy was just so like infectious. And I said, hi, like Lucy, you need help. Can I help you? And she goes, who are you? And I said, I'm an intern. My name is Lene. And she's like, sit there, grab the phone. If you can get me the police report, I'll hire you for the whole summer. And I was like, oh, okay. So I sat down. I had no idea how to get a police report. I'd never done it in my life. And I got the police report. And she called my boss and she was the head of the news desk. I had no idea who she was. Her name was Samantha Jacobson. Like literally I owe her my career, my mentor. She's amazing. And she called my boss at the time and said, can I have this girl for the whole summer? And I, from there, you know, she mentored me and she was like, I think you belong at the Weekly. So I was at In Touch and Life and Style for a decade where I was covering carpets and events and being at the clubs and the restaurants till the wee hours of the morning during the Chris Brown and Rihanna days. From there, I went to Hollywood Life, where I launched an Instagram live series where I really got to tap into my love for Bravo during the pandemic. And we would go live like 3 to 4 times a day with all of our favorite Bravo celebrities. From there, I went to People. And from there, I went to The Messenger. And that is my 16-year career in a nutshell.
But I mean, you say you owe it to this one. I think you owe it all to Paris Hilton. Let's give Paris Hilton the props that she deserves. You owe your career potentially. But I remember that day. Like, I remember it was on the news. It was like her reporting to jail. Like, I remember those. And that's like the love of pop culture is so interesting because we have a different access now in this day and age than we, you know, we have more access now than we ever have previously. Really? I mean, you even brought up Chris Brown and Rihanna and all of these things that have happened in pop culture. Where do your tastes lie? Like, what are your favorite things? Because you love Bravo, but what else do you like? When you're reporting on something, you have to kind of keep, you know, you're not supposed to be biased. You're not supposed to be like, where do you fall on the pop culture scale in terms of your loves? And how do you keep that separate when you report?
Yeah, totally. That's really hard. Like, when I get asked this all the time, I'm sure you do too. Who's your favorite housewife? And I always say, I'm Switzerland. I can't name one.
I'll tell you who I don't like. I know who I don't like.
But like, full disclosure, like, we also are human, Ryan, as you know, and like, we do have a secret favorite housewife, just like only maybe like your best friend knows who that is. And it's so close to the vest that like, it's so off the record. It's in the vault. But I think being a good journalist is being fair. Like, I've gotten into several, you know, differences of opinions, we'll call it, with colleagues when, you know, they have a source saying this and I have a hunch where their source, who their source is tied to. And then my source is maybe tied to the other party. But like, I feel like due diligence always needs to be done on both sides, because I believe there's always three stories, right? There's his story, her story, and then the real truth. So I think it's really
which
hard
is what we're like, seeing play. We're seeing that play out on Vanderpump Rules this season.
Oh, 100%.
You know, we're seeing this, but that story also is not just playing out on the show. We saw it play out in articles, in Instagram, on like everything, like on podcasts. Like, now there's not just reporting in the actual story. There's now podcasts, Instagram. Like, it's all consuming. Like, I feel like with that story, it exploded so much and people wanted to consume so much, but it's still to this day hard to get a 360 view of exactly what happened during Scandoval.
Yeah. And Scandoval was really, you know, it was a difficult time in all of our lives. Like, we can all sit there and say, like, do you remember where you were when Scandoval broke? Like, I do. Yeah. I actually do.
I do too. Yeah. Yeah. Where were you?
So I was actually in my garage, like heading to my garage. And like, I just remember them being like, oh my God, Linnea, we need you to like stop everything you're doing and jump on this now. And I was like, what? And then I remember a couple hours later, I won't say who it was, but there was a cast member that I was in communication with. And I was at the Santa Monica Pier. So like, literally, here I am, like, and I have a kid. So I'm like, momming, like, oh my God, smile, this is great. As I'm literally like on the phone with a cast member, like trying to get to the bottom of like, what was happening during Scandoval, right? And connecting with like several sources and, you know, as every single reporter was at the time, right? Because these
this
people,
is such
like,
a great entrance point.
Yeah.
This is such a great entrance point. With. So, well, just to take the audience through, because I don't think they have perspective on that, is you get that call, you're in your garage. As you a reporter, what do you start doing? Like, do you reach out immediately to a cast member? Like, how do you approach that? You hear this is happening. So as a reporter, what is your mind? Like, what are the first steps of what you do in that situation?
So, you know, it's really hard because like, I also like really value my relationship with the network. Like, I've worked with them in tandem for years. Like, I actually moderated the Vanderpump Rules panel in 2022 when Scandoval was going
on. So that
on
was season
behind
that was
the scenes.
Season
9.
So that was like right going into season, or there's season 9.
Literally,
oh my gosh, you moderated that panel?
I moderated that panel. And like, let me tell you, when I went into it, when you moderate at BravoCon, you're given very, you know, specific guidelines, as understandable, right? Because you have a job to do and fans say things and do things. And at the time it was, hey, if anyone brings up Raquel and Schwartz makeout session, shut it down. You get one question on it. They gave me the question, like, this is what to ask. But like, if fans start, you know, making the cast uncomfortable and saying things, like, please move on. So I did that and I actually got booed. Like, and this, I
so
got
that it. Was the that was the year. So that was the year she was dressed in the Tom Tom sweater, Raquel or Rachel.
Yes, but she was. Everybody was on stage. Like, she and James had just broken up. Okay, so like they had their breakup was like not even a year old. Katie, it was the first time Katie and Schwartz were like on stage together. Like, the drama would had nothing to do with what it did. Like, Ariana and Sandoval were still together.
Oh my God, that's such a big responsibility. Yeah.
I did for the people. I did for the people.
that's so much pressure. Did it turn out well? Like, I'm trying to remember because I was there. I think because that was that a panel that was on Friday or Saturday? Anyways, it doesn't matter.
It was Saturday.
Because I remember that night I went to Schwartz's like 40th birthday party at some bar over by the Gansvort, and like Sandoval, Kyle from Summer House, Ariana, mm-hmm. we were all hanging out. Like, Rachel was there. Like, it was, and this was going on during it. And now in retrospect, I'm like, holy crap. Like, this was all going on under our noses. And I could not pick up on it at all at that time. Mm-hmm. Did you get any weird vibes on stage? Because the misdirect was Schwartz and Rachel.
Correct. Zero vibes. Yeah. When I say zero vibes, like, if you would have told me that, I would have been like, okay. Like, yes! Zero. Zero vibes. And this, I have covered Vanderpump Rules since season one. Like, I tell you, when I was at In Touch, we did a shoot with Lisa Vanderpump and, like, Jax and Schwartz, Sandoval. And I forget. I feel like there was one other that might have been there, too. This was, like, pre-James days. Yeah, probably was Peter.
Yeah. And they used to use him in photo shoots for like early VPR with his shirt off. Yeah.
Wait, which, by the way, side note, I saw your comment about Peter the other day. I just want to let you know, I did comment back. I'm not sure if you saw, but I want to let everybody know.
I didn't.
Peter's alive. Peter's alive and well. I actually had drinks with him not that long ago at Sir. And then we actually went to Tom Tom together afterwards. Peter's alive and well.
Sir was in this week's episode and Peter wasn't there.
Like, I know. Maybe it was Pete, one day
they
off.
Actually featured Sir. What'd you say?
I know. Maybe it was Peter's one day off. I think he's off on Tuesdays.
He's off on Tuesdays.
I know, because when
next Tuesday.
Yeah, right? When I called Peter, I was like, hey, I'm coming to Sir. Like, I is there a table? Because, like, I, you know, I'm like, not to, like, be that girl, but I was like, I really would prefer not to, like, wait in the fan line. And he was like, well, I'm home, but I'm 5 minutes away. Just tell me when you park. So I texted him back. I'm like, okay, I'm parked. And then he came over. And like, literally, Peter is like a god at Sir. Like, it's actually really funny. Like, people.
He's like a politician. He's like shaky. He's kissing babies. He's shaking hands.
Literally, we couldn't even finish our Vanderpump Rosé without, you know, somebody being like, excuse me, may I interrupt for just a minute? And I'm like, Peter is a god at Sir. Like, Peter for president at Sir, for sure. But he is alive and well. I just, like, I saw
he's
that
alive
comment.
And well. That's good. That's good to know. And I miss those little Peter scenes. Like, I miss those little awkward moments with Peter in them. So I'm glad to know he's well. But I wonder if there was an actual decision of, like, why are we not even just, like, there's usually some conversation between Lisa and Peter. And we haven't even had that. We're three episodes into the season. I think he's good seasoning for the show, you know?
I know. Yeah, he is good. And let's hope that they bring him back, like, in some capacity. I know he loves it.
I really do. Well, I mean, you said your relationship with the network when Scandal broke. So did you have to, I got to talk to Bravo to see if what you're allowed to say, is that what you're kind of hinting at?
Well, also, like, hi, you know, reaching out to see if there's comment on this, like, massive, like, tornado that's coming in like a wrecking ball. And, you know, and again, like, this is where it's, like, hard. Like, I've covered the shows for so many years that, like, I have very close relationships with several talent across several shows who know these people. So, you know, everybody, what I tell you from not just, like, the cast of Vanderpump Rules is finding out and wanting to know what's going on. Like, when shit like this hits the fan, we get calls from, like, people across all the networks being, like, what's going on? Like, they tap us being like, hey, have you heard anything? Because they're invested too.
Yeah.
So, you know, when this stuff happens, like, you reach out for comments to the network, you reach out to prospective publicists, you know, I like to be respectful when reaching out to talent because you, as a journalist, you don't want to ever upset, at least for me, I can't speak for everybody, but I value my relationships very, very much. And I don't want to upset a publicist by going directly to their talent. So a lot of times talent will reach out to us, or when you have a super close relationship with talent, you just have to use your best judgment of, like, is it safe to go to them, or is that going to upset their rep?
See, Lene, it's different in every case. I need your help. This is what I don't like. I'm still I don't know how the ecosystem works, and it's interesting because I'll talk to Michelle over at Betches, and you know, like I'm not used to talking with publicists. Like, you know, I'm not used to talk, and it's really a fascinating ecosystem of how it all plays out. And you say something that's very interesting about relationships of, well, I don't want to offend this person. And like, you really do have to think about all of that stuff of like, I don't want to go over somebody's head. And it's interesting. Like, how did you find the right way to work? Is that something you just like by osmosis picked up on? Because the town really is all about relationships, right?
It is. And I always tell people, like, when people want my advice of, like, you know, I joke, but I'm like, I have someone for everything. Like, you know, my son, like, last week was like, can we go to Nobu? Do you know the publicist? And like, he's 10. So
your son's 10 and he's like, he knows Nobu? No, that's insane.
Wow. I know. It is insane. But I just feel like, again, it's like a case by case basis. But like, I always tell people when they ask for advice is like, take every opportunity that comes your way, because you never know who you're going to meet. Like, people will joke like, oh, Lene's always out. She's always out. But the reason I'm always out is because to me, that's always working, because you never know who you're going to see, who you're going to meet. And then that person, I've been at so many parties where that person's like, oh my God, I had something I wanted to invite you to. And then like that invitation leads to like the next big story that I break because I got that invitation, because something happened at that event or whatever it is. Or they introduced
me. Because not everybody's thinking about you all the time. It's good to be around, so they're reminded that you exist.
Exactly. So I always say, even if the event sounds lame, like if it's somebody who is connected to someone that's throwing it or someone might be there, like go get out there, network, introduce yourself, be, you know, pleasantly persistent. Do not be rude. Do not
Lene Brody, pleasantly persistent. Is that what it says on your business card? Pleasantly persistent. Like that's amazing. We need t-shirts that say pleasantly persistent. I like that a lot.
Totally.
Well, so Bravo was like, they were even surprised probably when you got word back. And then, you know, you have to reach out, and you probably did get a hold of a cast member, which will remain nameless. Were you able to do a story with any pull quotes from anybody involved that day?
Well, I think when it first came out, and like, you know, the thing with like our lovely reality stars is, like I said, it's like a lot of them we've known for so long and we are so close with, because we go to these fan conventions, and like several fans and influencers are also very friendly with the talent themselves. So reality to me is like a little bit of a different beast than like, say, dealing with like a Taylor Swift or a Jennifer Aniston, if you will, right? So
in what way is it different?
Just because we have more access to them, and they're so, you know, they're like us. Like they're reality. They're real. Like, right. Yeah. They started working at Sir. Like I tell people, like Sheena, actually my son was 2 days old. His pediatrician was upstairs from Villa Blanca. She was my server 2 days after I gave birth. Like, she really did work there, guys.
Wait. Lene, two days after you gave birth, you went in and ate at Villa Blanca?
I did. That's my love of Bravo.
By the way, Sir is where you bring your mistress. Villa Blanca is where you go 2 days after you give birth. That's amazing.
Yeah. And she was, I remember, like, but like, that's just what I mean. Like, those, they're real people, right? Like, you know, Kristen Doty is also a really dear
You're
friend
so
of
right.
mine. Like, and you she, so right. you know, she, like Stassi, they all are like real. So like, they were your server at one point. And, you know, they're great people. And I think like when everything happened, you have to remember, like, the cast was finding out when the network was, like, this was not planned to come out. This was not planned. I still firmly believe that if that situation didn't happen with the phone at the show, we may still not know. Like, nobody knew. Nobody knew.
Yes.
Like, people ask, that is the question I get asked all the time. Did you have any idea? Did anyone in the cast have any idea?
Like,
I've talked to multiples of them now. None of them knew anything. They found out when we did. So they were all calling us with questions too, you know, as things were unfolding.
And you guys listening to this out there, I know we're sometimes in scandal exhaustion, but I think this provides a larger conversation and an entrance point into how pop culture works and how reporting on it works as well. And I think you make such a great point about these reality stars starting off. They're real people. Like, it cracks me up. Like Dodie now will, like, you know, I've been on her show a couple of times, and I was out of town and she wanted me to come on her show last week and I couldn't do it, but it still cracks me. Like, I still get that initial jolt of, oh my God, Kristen Doty's texting me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. on, a celebrity is texting me. And then she's just like, oh, bummer. Oh, my boyfriend can't get back in time. Like, and she's just talking to me like a regular person because she is a regular person. Mm-hmm. And it is funny. You have to remind yourself. But then there is a difference between that and, say, a Jennifer Lopez or a Taylor Swift. Yeah. It's completely different.
Yeah, it really is. And again, that's why, like, I think it's so important for anyone out there who's looking to get into this, like, be really good friends with the publicist, because you want them to trust you. So if their client asks for your number, or if it becomes, you know, they ask you to get coffee and you start to develop a friendship with the talent themselves, you're able to kind of walk that fine line of, if a scandal happens, or, you know, we use that as an example now for everything, like, you know, what's my best course of action to get to the bottom of it, and, like, do your due diligence, right? That's the best thing about being a fair reporter, is you have to reach out to all parties involved when something like this happens to get the full story.
Lynette, I need you to teach a workshop or write a book on this, because I feel like I've made, like, probably a million mistakes already that I have no idea I've made already, but this is great to hear. So you cover all of these things. Has it changed your actual love of – my thing is, sometimes when I've covered this so intensely, I'll then actually watch the show, and it's changed my enjoyment of the show because, you know, you've focused on it so much, or you've talked to so many other people, and you know what's going on behind the scenes. Has that ever affected your love of these reality TV shows and pop culture in general?
You know, that's such an interesting question because, like I said, I've covered this show in specific since season one, and I have gotten to know Schwartz and Schwartz and, you know, because it depends who you ask if Schwartz quote unquote did anything, but, you know, Schwartz and Sandoval, I have known personally for a really, really long time. I mean, interview them on a carpet, go into a party, end up at the bar with them for an hour, and then, like, Schwartz and Sandoval shut down TomTom at, like, the end of my birthday party one year. And, like, they, like, get shots for, like, 20 of my friends at, like, 1 a.m. Like, they're
fun, right? They're really fun, nice, charming men. They really are. That's what I tell the audience. I said, they would be, it's like even Southern Charm. These people would be so fun to hang out with. I have hung out with Sandoval. I've hung out with Schwartz. They are so fun. They want everybody to have a good time. They want everybody to, like, party and get a picture taken with them. They're so nice in that aspect. But they then there's this whole other aspect. So did you ever personalize that because you did know them and you did follow it, of like, oh, that's dark. That is really dark.
It's really hard because, like, I love the girls so much. And, like, you know, female to female, like, you don't like to see a guy doing that. I do not agree with what he did. I don't like it. I don't think he handled it the right way. And if you ask me, like, you know, if you're like, oh, whose team are you on? Like, you know, I felt very badly for Ariana. But, like, listen, she's coming out on top. So, you know, just look at her now. And I'm sure it was the greatest thing that ever happened to her, was that breakup. And
well, it will be. I mean, I don't think she'll – I think feeling-wise, it's got to be a little different, because I think in retrospect, obviously, it will be the greatest thing, and probably potentially for both of them down the line. But I think it's interesting from a PR perspective. I feel like who – and you don't have to say anything, but sometimes I look at it from an outsider's perspective and go – who is advising Tom Sandoval right now? Like, who is advising? Because I feel like he'll do interviews. The agreement to go on Nick Vile's podcast and do that, for me, I was like, what a mistake, even for Bravo, because it almost shows that he hasn't really changed. Like, you know, he's, like, still very angry from what he has caused for himself. Like, would you advise him or anybody in these kind of situations differently when you're in kind of a PR crisis from reality TV?
I mean, listen, I actually spoke to Nick right before that episode dropped, and he said to me, he's like, wait till you hear it. And I was like,
I was wondering if Sandoval begged him to not release it. I was like, I wonder if Sandoval was like, hey, dude, that was kind of crazy what I did. Can we just not do that? Like, Nick came out on top, but it was like, I mean, Sandoval, you know, really didn't make himself look great again.
No, I mean, you know, it was great for Nick. I mean, shout out to Nick, who's doing amazing things, by the way. Amazing, amazing things.
He's killing it.
He is killing it. I mean, listen, one thing I think about a lot of these reality stars too is, like, sometimes I see that like their friends are advising them and not, you know, a paid person who's like done this for a long time. Like I don't know. I can't say like what happened in this, you know, scenario, if you will, yeah. But also sometimes editing happens and like we don't know how it could have been edited or what may or may not have been left out. I'm trying to be very fair in answering this question.
That's very judicious. That's very – we don't know what the actual edit is, you guys. That sounds very – that's great. I love that answer. So,
but – yeah, I can see though how.
But hey, there wasn't a lot of editing. He left in. Nick left in 40 minutes of Tom being late, so there wasn't a lot of editing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we don't. And Nick had every right to release it. You know what I mean?
I was thinking about that, and like, if I had ever had that opportunity, I don't know if I would have the balls to release it. I was thinking about that because I think that's like, you know, these are career changing. They really help a career because they get you talked about, they get new ears, all of these things. But at the same time, I don't know. Like, I feel like I would feel, I mean, I've taken things out of this show from Bravo Celebrities. I mean, because Bravo asked or because the person asked after the fact. And I've always went along with it because I want to have good relationships. I think Nick was in a really nice position where he is now a little more powerful enough where he's able to kind of push back. He's able to get those interviews where he's able to get them to be honest and unfiltered. And there's only a couple of people that are allowed to be like that in the podcasting industry in terms of reality right now.
Right. Yeah. I mean, listen, I also know that like they're friendly. So who knows who was doing who was
special forces. I don't know. Special forces. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Oh, I just think I think it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the season shapes out. I mean, let's talk about like the assistant who's now working for Ariana. Like what? So like obviously I want to know what happened there. That is what I want to know. It's like who is doing the sit down with Anne?
Well, probably Nick Vile. No, we've actually reached out to Anne and Bravo is keeping her on a very tight leash right now, even though she wants to do it. But you can tell Anne is very excited about, she's like, oh my God, I'm in the New York Times. Oh my God, Variety just interviewed me. She's very excited because she is an improv actor. Like I remember her from the days over at UCB. She had like an improv group that I remember from being in that scene back in the day. So she's like kind of excited. And my theory is we'll see a storyline this season where she gets fired or quits Tom Sandoval, then moves to Ariana. And the only reason I think this is because on the Nick Vile podcast, Schwartz let it drop that Tom's assistant quit a couple weeks before that interview. But then Anne said that wasn't her. So that means that's his second assistant. Mm-hmm. And Anne must have quit or been fired during the season is my guess.
I also want to know, maybe I was the only one thinking of this when I was watching it. What the hell does he need an assistant for? Am I the only one who was wondering
that? Yeah, I mean, he goes to somebody for his nails. Well, obviously, we found out this week, if you watch the episode, she's washing dishes. Like, she's washing dishes, cleaning the house, taking the dog out. So, but at the same time, in terms of like, I mean, it worked out for Anne. She's being celebrated as a hero right now.
I'm really happy for Anne. Justice for Anne. And I mean, hey, she's got a great new boss, right?
Yeah. Well, so you love Bravo. You've loved Bravo from the beginning. We're entering a really exciting season because we're starting Summer House, which is going to see the dissolution of Lindsay and Carl's relationship. And we're at the season finale of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and we're going to start the reunion. But we're also going to get to that place where they pick up the cameras again for Mauricio and Kyle. How has it been for you as a viewer? I mean, maybe even away from your reporter mind. How has that been to watch the story that they're trying to tell this season in terms of Kyle and Mauricio?
Well, first of all, when I knew that they were picking the cameras back up for the Kyle Mauricio stuff, I mean, I kind of had heard that it was more like they were doing pickups, which for those who don't really know that, like that's super standard in reality TV, especially Housewives, because like if something does happen, like they always are filming confessionals, like literally up until the end almost, you know, of things that are happening. So the ladies can be talking about things in real life and like they'll have to go pull that outfit from 6 months ago and wear it and pull that picture to make sure their makeup's the same. Like those are, you know, like Hollywood can do a really good job of like, you know, messing with grandma's mind in Iowa, yeah, who doesn't know how this works. But you know, so I was kind of told that they weren't necessarily like picking back up, if you will, to like film a bunch of stuff like they did with Scandoval. Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Correct. Because, you know, I know Kyle, I love Kyle. I mean, again, I've like met her season one and covered that show forever because it's in my backyard. Like New York, I don't have the same access to. So those ladies I do. And, you know, I think that's – Kyle's like had a really rough go when it comes to her personal life on this show and like different capacities than other people. Like Kim, Kathy, now Mauricio. I guess it comes in threes, right? You know, I was at Kathy's house – in December twice for Christmas for
the DirecTV party. Yeah.
Which like, by the way, I mean, whenever I get invited to Kathy's, it's like, it comes in like increments. So like although I wasn't invited to the Christmas party, which who knows, maybe next year, I did get to do Christmas at Kathy's and then she had another Christmas party. But when I saw Kyle was there.
Listen, I'll do President's Day at Kathy. I'll do like the crappy holidays.
Flag Day
at Kathy's. Just want to get over to Kathy. Yeah, exactly. I'll do like casual Fridays at Kathy's. I'll do whatever. Yeah.
Happy hour. I mean, going to Kathy Hilton's house is always so fun. The decor, the art, the like little homages to like her life and her friends is like super cool. But I remember like seeing Kyle there. I was like, am I the only one who's like, the story here is that Kyle is here? Because like they weren't speaking and then all of a sudden Kyle is here. And Kyle, like one thing I will tell people about Kyle, she's like me, fellow Capricorn, so loyal. So like even though her and her sister were having problems, they probably had just buried the hatchet. And like she had come to the party. And of course, like I wanted to know right away. I'm like, well, is she talking to Paris and Nikki? Because Nikki's here. Like, what's going to happen with Nikki? Like, are they talking? Because the cousins are always friends. They always are somehow able to like leave their moms out of it, which I think is amazing. But, you know, when I saw Kyle, the last time I saw her was in December. Like, she seemed like she was in a really good place, really peaceful. She seems like whatever's happening, you know, whether it's her friendship or more with Morgan, she just seems to be having that support and like doing well. And it's my understanding that her and Mo are like, they talk, they, you know, like yeah, they're in, I mean, a better
place. They live in the same house. They just are in different rooms from my understanding at times. Yeah. God, no.
Ariana and Tom but I think, do that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, 27. Yeah, by the way, Anne's going to be an assistant to Mauricio now. But that was funny, too, I was kind of shocked about Kyle, though. You know, you saw what a rough time she had gone through with the loss of her friend, the Kathy stuff that started at the reunion and last season through Rinna, and then obviously Mauricio. And she has a very real family that they created over 27 years. I was kind of shocked that she allowed Morgan to be on this season. Because I would almost think if that relationship, and I don't mean romantically, but even if it's a new friend that you're actually relying on during these hard times, why introduce a camera and all of us into it? Because then I start making stupid memes. We all start joking about it or kind of speculating about it. Why not protect that with everything that you have if that's your safe space? And I think that's the question I have going into the reunion of, was there any trepidation for her to do that?
Yeah, well, see, and I actually thought it was the other way around. I actually thought I get the vibe that Morgan's not super into this. And my fear as a Bravo fan is that this is going to be Kyle's last season. That's my fear.
I mean, 13 seasons.
I know.
She's been from the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's okay to take a year off here and there.
No, it's not, because then you don't come back. Let me tell you how I'd be doing. Not well, bitch. Like I would like even like with the rebrand of New York, like I don't know about you, but every time I turn it on, like it's good. I like it, but I am not like as comforted by it as I was when it was like, I've got my OGs on. So if Kyle were to leave, I would have a hole in my heart. it'd be bad.
I agree with you. I think she, like I said on this week's recap, I said she is Beverly Hills, period. Mm-hmm. She is the head of that ship. And of course, I want to see her and what that looks like moving on, what that looks like for her. But, you know, I know she had a lot of trepidation even going into this season herself, because whatever was happening with her and Mauricio, she even said in an interview with Kate Arthur at the Spago dinner for Variety, she said, listen, we knew what was going on and I don't have a good poker face. We knew cameras were picking back up. And I thought that was an interesting way to then go back and watch this season, of knowing that each scene with her and Mauricio, they've already decided to separate, but it's how much they want to let the viewers in on their very real relationship. And you can tell they're very protective over it, because even next week at the finale, we see a scene with them sitting down with their family and their daughters. They've already had this conversation, you guys. They're just now having it for TV. Right. They're not going to just have it for the first time for cameras. And they're very protective of their family. And sometimes that works against a reality star, because the viewer will be like, we signed up for your real life. And mm-hmm. and Kyle's like, no, this is my reality. I can't do it for this one, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. Well, that's why I do think there were things going on behind the scenes that we didn't know, obviously, but they really hit it well. They've really hit it well,
yeah.
You know, for season after season after season. And people also need to remember, like, the root of the tension between the family, like Kyle with Kathy, and then also with Kim, like Mauricio always kind of was like the underlying issue. Like Rick and Mauricio, it's like totally out there. Also, if you read his book, you will read about it. But like, they had some beef and some drama when Mauricio left.
People forget
about
that. People forget Mauricio used to work for Rick Hilton, and you know that happened. And then the agency, which is now just a juggernaut. And I was thinking about that last night when I was doing the recap, and I was thinking, you know, this week's episode, Mauricio said we have 85 offices now. We're going to have 100 by the end of the year. And I was thinking, even in terms of Sutton and her ex-husband, who just took on another, like a promotion in, you know, London. And I was like, what is it about, you know, people that once they start building their kingdom, and it's like, you know, what is it that they can't let go of that? Like Mauricio, right. It's very clear. He's so proud of the agency, obviously. And I was wondering what that is that he's willing to be like, I can't right now put the time that you need into this, that you need. And I wonder what that is. Is it just like the impossibleness of like, this is a one in a million shot and it's actually working, so I can't let this go.
Yeah, but he's been successful for a while now. If anything, the show has garnered even more success, right? Because look at like Selling Sunset. Let's talk about another, like when we talk about reality, like those people actually could sell you a house. You want to go buy a house? You want to, you know, I've asked, I remember I asked Gina Kirschenheider from OC. Oh, love her so much.
Yeah, she's selling now.
I asked her, like, I was like, serious as a heart attack. Do you have fans calling you? Do you give your real number out? Do you have a burner phone? Like, I really wanted to know. But like this girl, shout out to her. She is out there, single mama, hustling, and has a real job. Yeah. And she has, like, I props. If we do not like really give her props, I mean, that's
well,
incredible.
You know, but
like,
about
serious question though.
What I love about that too is that I was saying this the other week in terms of Brandi Glanville, and we're probably never going to see that Ultimate Girls Trip season because of whatever happened with her and Caroline Manzo. And if you read those court documents, it's really horrifying. But I said, sometimes I feel as an audience member, we then feel responsible for these people. And we're like, we got to make sure we take care. We got to buy their tummy tea for the rest of their lives to make sure they're financially supported. When like with Gina, where I see that where she made a sale and I'm like, good, you have a career to go to after Housewives is done. And you're not dependent on Ultimate Girls Trip picking back up or you needing to get back on the season. And that comforts me because then I can watch them without worry. And I know that's weird parasocial, but I do feel that responsibility sometimes when you hear Brandi on Twitter saying, I need to make a living, you know?
I know. Listen, it's hard. And if you're not an OG, like, remember when Teresa went to jail? I mean, who could forget? But like,
well, we got those Jen Shaw pictures today. Did you see that?
I can't. Yes. How could I miss them? That was like, but Jen Shaw she's someone, in my opinion, that if she could, she would have ridden out Housewives. I mean, literally, if it weren't for the show, she may not be in jail right now. We don't know, right? I think the show shined that extra light to you know, bring attention, if you will, to the situation.
Well, yeah, I always joke that the FBI has like a housewives department now, and like they must, any kind of new cast member, no, I'm joking, Lene, but like any kind of new cast member, they must just like immediately go, let's put a spotlight on this. Background, I feel like check. You are now more watched. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I was watching The Housewife and The Hustler Part 2 on Hulu about Erica mm-hmm. Jane and Tom Girardi again, which is really, really decent, like kind of reporting that gets really in there. Mm-hmm. And it's once again, you're like, guys, you know, is it worth the trade-off of fame
right.
for all of your businesses to get looked into? And nobody seems to learn is that you better make sure you all of your practices are above board if you want to be on TV, or it's going to be a really rough road potentially.
Yeah, well, Bethany gave that warning. Like, you know, she made some comment when Jen got arrested about, like, well, what did she think was going to happen? You know, and Teresa, like, when she went to jail, I mean, she paid off her, what did she call it? The restitutionism or whatever, Teresa-ism she gave it. But, like,
restitutionism.
The prostitution, I mean, whatever she called it at the time.
Restitution whore, 19 exactly. times, yeah.
But she paid that off. With that sit down with Andy Cohen, at least that was, you know, that was a report at the time, like that she was able to do that. But like, if it wasn't a Teresa where people were like so invested in her and what was happening, like, remember, like as a housewife stand watching that and you're like, don't throw the book at her. We need to see what happened. Like that season was rough. That was a rough season.
Yeah, it really.
And that,
I mean, that we have been through this before, and we've been through it with OGs. And then when Jen Shah does it, I think there's something we're desensitized as an audience. Because we're like, oh, you know, this is like Groundhog's Day. We've been here before. Deja vu. But like, it's like a copy of a copy of a copy. And then today we get a People exclusive by our buddy Dave Quinn, which I didn't like. I mean, does this go towards the restitution? Like, is whatever money she like, I didn't realize you were allowed to take. I'm so confused by all of the prison system, I guess. But Jen, they're doing like a Barbie contest in prison. Like, it looks more fun than the life I'm living right now. Like, Jen looks great. She's like, you know, doing a pose, like has like a little, like she cut off her, she like styled her prison outfit to look like, it was very shocking, Lene.
It was very shocking. I did open that too. And I was like, is this new? That was the first thing that went through my head. Like, is this photoshopped? What is this?
Did they do the, by the way, she might've just done a bunch of like pre-prison photo ops before just to use them throughout her stay. But no, this was like, this was on the, I think they said it was like the 27th or like it was this year.
I'm not sure what to think about that one.
I'm glad Barbie is, Barbie's successful even in the prisons. I love they have Barbenheimer in the prisons, potentially.
It's trending in prison. And Jen's in, you know, I mean, she's in like a low, you know, security.
Very low security.
But I feel like that situation, though, was different because, like, what she was accused of doing with the elderly being involved, it was a lot different than, like, the Teresa situation, which, you know, Teresa was basically accused of putting her John Hancock on something that she didn't read. And she took the heat for Juicy Joe. So, and she, you know, but like, I don't know about you. I remember at the time, like, she'll never leave Juicy Joe. And she did.
Me too. Oh my gosh, Lene, remember that episode where they went to Italy and like Juicy Joe, or was it Italy? Or it was when they went to see Juicy Joe and they were in that room together, Teresa and Joe, and you could tell Teresa wasn't in it. And he was like looking to potentially hook up after the kids went to bed. And like right then I was shocked. I was like, wow, like you can see it in her eyes. It just wasn't there. And the realization from Juicy Joe, it was, go back and watch that episode, you guys. It was really intense in a way of like, it was very sad. It was very real.
It was. And I don't know about you, but like, I literally am hitting refresh every day and being like, when is Real Housewives of New Jersey going to pick up their cameras? Because like, it's been enough. It's been a minute.
Well, they finished the season. It's just when it's going to come out, right?
It needs to come out like, well, and they keep, you know, there's all these rumors that they're going to like reboot it. Or like recast it. And like, I don't want any more recasts. I know. I just don't want any
more. It got such great ratings last season. It's not happening.
I want to see that Danielle Cabral. Jen Aiden Cabral. The brawl. The Cabral Brawl. I want to see it.
The Cabral Brawl. That's the Cabral Brawl. Okay, that's good.
Like, I don't know about you, but whenever, like, I either, like, if I get a tip or, like, I, some, like, one of, you know, like, my former amazing colleague Dave Quinn gets a tip, like, whoever it is, and they post about it, and I'm always like, oh my God, I got to find out if this is true or what actually happened. And, like, I'm literally, like, typing, texting, calling. Like, that is the best part about my job is, like, being a journalist who's invested to, like, really get to the bottom.
Yeah,
like, want to know.
Do you ever use your journalistic connection? Like, you have no plan to write a story, but you're like, I'm going to act like I am just so I can get the dirt. You know, I need to get the tea. Like, I know that's probably a big no, but I would be like, I just want all the information all the time.
Well, I feel like usually it's something that, like, I would at least pitch. So, like, I go in, you know, like, if there's, like, a report out there. But a lot of times, too, like, our editors don't, like, they might be working on something else, so they don't, like, know something's going on. So I'll be like, here, this just happened, and this is why we should do it. And, like, I, again, pleasantly persistent, I make my case as to, like, why we should cover it. Because if an editor is, like, not super into something, like, you have to sell it. You have to sell. You have to be a salesman.
Well, that's why, above all, like, Scandoval helped every industry, podcasting, journalism, because it showed people. I mean, I'm sure it showed your editors, like, people are really interested in this stuff. So it potentially made all of our jobs a little bit easier because there was a rabid audience for it. And then that can lead to, like, talking about the other shows. And I was doing a segment on Bravo ratings because they released all their ratings from Peacock and Bravo, and they've had the best year. The reunion of Vanderpump Rules Part 1 was the most watched show in Bravo history. Isn't that insane?
Yeah, that is. But I'm not shocked. I mean, people who never watched the show were watching it and obsessed with it.
Were you obsessed with Salt Lake City and the reality Von Teese of it all?
Duh. I actually, during the pandemic.
Is that a journalistic quote?
Yeah.
Duh.
It's a Bravo journalistic quote. During the pandemic, I was the first taste of media that the ladies had, season one, because they launched during the pandemic. And so Bravo was like, hey,
I remember.
What do you think about moderating a panel on Zoom? For like 50 influencer, this is like before influencers were really like a thing, but like 50 Bravo bloggers, they can come on, they're going to meet the ladies and you'll just like moderate like a conversation. They would have all seen the first episode. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds so amazing. So they were like, FYI, they haven't done any press yet. You're first. And I'm like, ugh. I was like, oh shit. Okay. I was like, that's no pressure. It was honestly one of the hardest panels I had to moderate because like fans kept like commenting on Zoom and then like the producers would be commenting like, please include
please
this,
stop.
You know, please include this person. Please don't ask that question. And I was like, oh my God, there's a lot happening. But it was Heather Gay, Lisa Barlow, Meredith Marks, and Jen Shaw and me.
Wow.
And 50 bloggers, and it was so much fun. It was so cool. But that's how I like, you know, talk about getting to know talent. Like I got to know them like very well, like on the computer, and like my parents have a place in Deer Valley in Utah. So when I go up there now, I'm always like, oh my God, Lisa Barlow, come meet me for, some Vita tequila at the Stein Erickson.
I would love to, Lene. I love Vita. Let's do this.
God.
Let's eat at Taco Bell.
I love her so much. Salt Lake girls have a special place.
I love Lisa Barlow, I always say, because she's unapologetically Lisa Barlow. Like, you know, it's like 100%. She loves herself, and I love that she leans into it. And she's, you know, she's we love people that are unapologetically themselves. Like, and by the way, I'm not saying Lisa Barlow is a perfect person, because obviously she isn't, but I love that that doesn't stop her from being herself. Like, I want that. I want people that are allowed, like, that are unapologetically themselves, warts and all. And she is
Same. And this season, like, listen, people have their feelings on Monica. And I've sat here and I'm like, am I the only one who's like, this girl is not lying. She is honest. She helped, like, lock up a felon. Like, she is the real deal. And, like, I did not think she was going to be a one and done. We've had
Tom Sandoval didn't cheat. Tom Sandoval, he never cheated. Like, I love that you're like, no, you believed it fully, right? You believed Monica and what she was saying fully and that she was a hero.
Fully.
So were you extra shocked when that came out?
I was shocked. I was like, this can't be true. And then we had ran a story on The Messenger, but that the ladies, like the report came out, but the cast members still had not been told that she was out. So again, let's talk about things hitting the news before it hits the people, but they didn't know for sure yet that like who was coming back and who wasn't. But, you know, cameras are now up and rolling in Salt Lake and, you know, there's rumored newbies. But like, I don't know about you, but like, it takes me a minute to get invested in newbies. Monica, I like hit the ground running with, but that's also because like I said, I felt like she was very honest, real. And like, you'd be like, you did this. It was so wrong. And she'd be like, yeah, you know what? I did.
Well, it's a tale of two newbies, right? Because you have Anna Marie Wiley, who had the opposite experience where I kind of like, and then Monica, where you're right. Like, I was invested. I was invested in her personal storyline, which usually I don't care about families at that point. I was like, wow. And I think I was like, okay, with Jen Shaw being out, it almost helped us pay a little bit more attention to a newbie, a fresh newbie that still had a little bit of a tether to a cast member, Jen Shaw.
Correct.
So that thing kind of got us in there, but then they were able to land the plane. So it was really disappointing. Like, it's a very interesting standalone season, and I'm very curious how they will pick up the pieces from here. And I don't doubt they can do it, but I still, even to this day, would have loved to have seen how they would have even reintegrated Monica. I feel like I love to see how these cast members deal with hurdles. And I will, Heather Gay, I think, is such an effective housewife, but at the end of the day, I'll still never not believe that she took a risk and knew what she was doing that last day on the vacation. Like, I think she left her mic pack on knowingly. I think, you know, and by the way, talking about pitching stories, she did that interview with Kate Arthur for Variety, and she talked about like, listen, I had to go pitch it to the producers, and the producers was like, well, why should we care? Like, what's Reality Von Teese? Like, they weren't aware of why it was important. And Heather had to do like the whole rundown of why this was important. And then they decided, okay, let's do this. Let's get the ladies by the beach. And, you know, they took Heather's word for it after she pitched them. And that's the part of the story that I find fascinating, mm-hmm. was Heather Gay pitching it to the producers.
Yeah. That finale was like wild, wild. That will go
so
down
good.
As one of the best finales in Bravo history.
Yes. And across the board, the ladies, production, music, editing, like, it was just really, really well done. And like the way that, like, you know, timeline receipts, the way that they they bumped
Bravo-isms.
Up each one, like, they, oh, so great. It was so good. Mm-hmm. It made me so proud of Bravo as a network. Cause I'm like, this is we're bordering on art. We're bordering on art.
Yes. Yes. Emmy worthy.
Do you got 10 more minutes? This has gone way too quick.
Are you
good?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
I'm good on time.
Okay. Listen, we talked so much about Bravo, and I could talk another 3 hours with you about it. So hopefully you'll come back. But I do want to say, you were just at the Super Bowl. Why were you at the Super Bowl?
I was. So I was there covering as a journalist. I got to go to like a ton of events, a ton of parties. I don't like to humble brag, but I was the reporter who broke the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce dating news for The Messenger.
We're at the Super Bowl? I was like, Linnea, we know at this point they're dating.
Well, yes. I'm like, I broke it in September.
Wait, how did you break it? Wait, how did you break the story?
Well, I had a really good source who just had like told me in passing, hey, like, I think she's hanging out with an athlete right now. And I was like, oh, who? And the source was like, I don't know, like an athlete. I was like, well, let me get my Rolodex. Let me go on, like, you know, I was like sitting there. I'm like, and this is like when you're, you know, the journalist in you is like, okay, now let me look at every athlete that she has left a comment.
Or just talked about her.
Or whatever. So I was like, okay, I kind of like shoved it to the side. This was like over the summer, like towards the end of summer. And so then I like reached back out a couple weeks later. I was like, hey, remember when you said like that there was an athlete that you thought? And they're like, yeah. I go, do you remember like did you any inclination, any sport? How about the sport? They were like, you know, I don't really know sports very well, but like, I think football. And I was like, I just shouted out. I was like, Travis Kelce? I don't know why I thought it was Travis, because I think like I had remembered like him.
Well, he was talking about it on his podcast, right? Like he was at that point. Yeah.
And so I think that's what it was. And they were like, Kelce. Yeah. The Kelce guy. And I was like, okay, like that, really? So I just started like kind of doing my homework and like tapping other people and like, you know, has anyone heard anything? Has anyone, you know? And so I was able to break it.
And so how did you break it? I mean, did you, for the messenger, you broke it. Like, how do you break something like that? Do you write an article of, I think I figured out who Taylor Swift is dating? How did you break the news?
It took a few weeks. Like I said, it took a few weeks and like, you know, and ask, if somebody said to you like, oh.
No, but in terms of presenting it, it to the Met, like in terms of the actual article that came out, was the article headline like, I figured out who Taylor Swift is with? Like, how did you present it?
When you get that, you just kind of go to your team and you say, hey, like, I'm hearing this. This is at least what I do. Like, I'm hearing this. Has anybody else heard anything about this? Or like, you know, if she might be hanging out with an athlete or if any athlete's been hanging out with her, like, at that point, that's when you start looking into your sports sources. Like you're, you know, that one was like a like finding a needle in the haystack at first. Cause like, you know, athlete, you're like NFL, NBA, like soccer, retired, like running, like you're all over the place. So yeah, like when I was able.
At this point, is it pickleball? Is it Randall Emmett? Like, come on.
Can you imagine if it was like Tom Brady or something? I don't know. I mean, it could have been anybody, but I think like it was right around the time when like that his podcast came out too. So I think that's why it was kind of like, oh, I wonder if it's him. But anyway, so being at the Super Bowl and seeing it, like if there was ever like an I told you so moment, that felt good. It was that for sure.
Did you get to see Taylor and Travis in person? Did you get to did Taylor get to thank you for breaking the story?
No, oh my gosh, no. But I wish I was actually at the same hotel they were partying at, but I did not see them. I was at the Flippers had a party at Encore Beach Club at the Wynn, and they were at XS at the Wynn. So we may have been breathing the same air.
That's all that matters. And what stories did you do? What caught your interest over the Super Bowl weekend?
So what did I do? I mean, I was just like out at all the events. We got to see Usher. He was at the Flippers party. We saw, I got to see Luke Combs at MGM. He did a big game Bet Bash party. I hope I'm saying that.
Did he sing Fast Car?
He did. And I actually, you know, and like I got to see like little cute tidbits. Like he was catching up with Maren Morris at, you know, this Flippers after party. Because that's where Usher went. Usher had like a private party at Cathedral. And then from there he went to the Encore for another party. He was like on roller skates, like living his best Usher life after just getting married and performing at this halftime show.
Man, those roller skates were a choice. When I keep thinking about that performance, I'm like, when did the roller skates like become like a decision? Like I was like, that's a really ballsy decision in front of like to bomb on roller skates would just be like just one bad move. And we're like, we can see Usher has abs, so he has good control. But like, God, that's just scary as heck to be on roller skates.
I know. But yeah, so that was really fun. I went to like Lee Steinberg's party. I went to Sports Illustrated. Actually, I got to see Brittany Mahomes in the flesh right before the game. That was pretty cool.
Did she seem nice? Everybody always says reports out there saying she's like, and I feel like that's so unfair because it's like they're watching, like they're almost wanting her to be mean.
I know. Well, you know, that video that came out of her, like that they were saying she was being rude to some guy asking like where to go. I watched it like unteen times and I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't see it. And I've never interacted with her. I don't know her. I don't know where it came from. But like, let's also remember that like we sometimes do and say things like 5-10 years ago that we would be mortified of ourselves. Like I definitely have, I'm sure we all have. And like, maybe that's where it started. Her and Patrick.
I said things a week ago, Lene, that I'm like horribly ashamed of. Are you kidding me? Like, what do you mean? What do you mean years ago? But it is like, even they had that video of Brittany Holmes, like Jackson Mahomes, or like the brother, you know, not being able to get to her table and her kind of shrugging it off in the video, which then that got picked up, which was actually kind of funny. But it is so many eyes on you. There's no way you're going to be perfect. You know, it's wild.
There's no way. And like, you know, I saw a picture today. Like, unfortunately, there was that terrible shooting, you know, at the parade the other day. And like they were with the kids today, which obviously was like a really nice and proper thing of them to do. But I don't know her personally. I did see her in the flesh. I will say, like, I saw who else? Olivia Culpo's sister we got to see. Bebe Rexha was there. You know, it was a good crop of people, but it's an exhausting weekend. I didn't actually go to the game this year. I got to actually go last year, and it was incredible. Like, the best experience of my life. I was like on the field for Rihanna. It was so much fun. That ticket is so hard to get. And I've like heard from other journalist friends of mine too, that Vegas, it was so much harder to get than like other games. Cause I think just everyone and their mother wanted to go. So I went to a really fun Verizon Watch party instead. Shout out to them for having me. But it was, you know.
Hey, Verizon Watch, shout out. I want to get on your list, Verizon Watch Party, for next year. No, I mean, this really is so exciting. I grew up loving pop culture so much, and I really love to hear these kind of stories. And that's why you really are a perfect guest. I'm so glad you came.
Thank you.
Because I geek out on this stuff, and I know the audience geeks out on this stuff so much. I guess the final question to you is, in terms of entertainment reporting and covering with all of your years now of doing this, what are you seeing change that you don't love in terms of entertainment reporting? Like, is there things where like, I'm seeing this kind of trend that I'm not loving, that I think we're getting it wrong about?
I mean, you know, what's interesting is like back in the day, like people used to like love reading Perez Hilton because he was like, would always make fun of people.
Yeah,
so
I would refresh multiple times.
Yeah, same. And now like I find that everyone's a lot gentler, thankfully, you know, like not breaking pregnancy news. I've had a lot of pregnancy news. Like there's someone in my head right now that I know is pregnant that like,
would you like to break the Taylor Swift is pregnant on So Bad It's Good? Can we break it right here?
Yeah. Oh my God. If only it was her. No. She's in Australia right now. No, but like, I'm glad we've kind of gotten away from like that because these really are humans. But, you know, there's been so many layoffs in this industry lately, and that makes me so sad because if I may say anything, journalism is so important. Being a fair journalist is really important. Storytelling and reporting the facts and the news and being impartial is really, really important. And I don't want people to lose sight of that. And like, I always joke, I'm like, we're not saving lives, we're destroying them by being entertainment journalists. But like, you know, we're not doctors here. We're not rocket scientists. Like, I'm not, you know, curing cancer or anything of that nature. And like, I love what I do because people can sit there and check out a little bit. And like, people are so invested in these people that they love and like, they think they know, and, you know, they don't, but like I give them that taste of like what's going on in their life. Right. But I just think it's so important. And I hate to see the industry not being what it was in that department anymore. Not as strong and so many people out of jobs, but news is important. But
yeah. We're so reliant on click rates and all of this kind of stuff that like is, you know, the digital media and people trying to monetize off this. It is sad to watch. And I know a lot of people don't really realize what's going on behind the scenes. But you are such an important piece of this for people like me, because I always say you give credibility to the shows that I love. You give credibility to the pop culture that I love. And if well-respected voices can write about this and pass on these messages, it really combats my big annoyance with pop culture now is fake news. Is people just putting out stuff that is not verified, completely false, and then that gets passed around. So we need good, strong voices that are doing actual good old-fashioned reporting that we can believe in. And that's the scariest thing, is that there's so much false information in there that we need those voices that we can trust. And it's so great that you're one of those.
Yeah, no. And it's really, that's why I say it's so important to like have good relationships so that, you know, and giving people like time to respond. Like, you have to remember, like, these people have normal lives too. They might be on a plane, they might be on vacation, like whatever. Like, news does not sleep, unfortunately. So I really hope,
by the way, it's almost a year anniversary of your Friday at Scandoval. It's almost the year anniversary.
I think we're
at the year anniversary. It was a Friday. It was rain, you know, like, March. So we're now almost at that year anniversary when we all had to put down our lives and start covering this madness. So happy almost year anniversary.
Oh my gosh. How are you going to celebrate?
I'll probably do what I did that day, get a bottle of wine and just cry. It's so sad. The audience knows this. I was devastated. Like, I would have fought to the death saying that wasn't true. Cause I knew Ariana knew it. And then I got word from, you know, then I was like, oh, and I really like, I, I It was so like so idiotic in retrospect, but I was just floored. I was like, yeah. No way. And because same. Like I had been with them all at Coachella. Like I was with like I was like, wait a sec. Like I was like, there's no way. I said I talked to Rachel. Like there was no because then I was like, well, how far back does it go? And there was all these questions then thrown out about timelines. And I, like you said, I would have never in a million years believed it. I would have fought. And then DJ James Kennedy was like, screw you, Tom Sandoval. And I was like, screw you, DJ James Kennedy. Tom's right. A good man. Like I was fighting DJ James Kennedy. Like it was ridiculous.
Who knew he'd be the number one guy in the group? Like that scandal.
By default, Lene.
Right. That's true. I mean that, and like, you know, let's not forget, we capped the year off with the TJ Holmes and Amy Robach. Like that scandal. As a journalist, like I was eating that scandal. I mean, well, that one actually came first, but it was that they must have loved Scandoval because it really took the light off of them.
Yeah. By the way, now they're benefiting from the power of podcasting. Literally. Amy and TJ. Can you imagine hardcore reporters? And then now they're like, you know, having to like air out their own relationship on their own. I mean, the pop culture is wild these days. The access is wild that we all have.
We all love a scandal, even if it's a Scandoval.
Well, that's another good t-shirt. Lene Brody, you are amazing. How do we support you? How do we keep up to date with everything that you're writing? Like, where do we go?
Thank you. You can follow me on Instagram at Lene Brody, LaneBrody. Give me a follow, slide into my DMs, and maybe I'll share it with Peter the next time I see him.
Yeah, guys, I'll put all that in the show notes, but I hope you'll come back again because this was just such a great, easy, flowing conversation, and we didn't get to like half the things that I wanted to talk about. So thank you for doing this on a Friday. I really appreciate it.
Anytime. I know. This was so much fun. I feel like we gapped a lot of Bravo, but I could literally talk about Bravo all day, every day.
I know, right? I was like, we just scratched the surface. So you'll definitely be coming back. Thank you so much and have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
So Bad It's Good is a Betches Media production. The show is hosted and produced by me, Ryan Bailey, with Meditza Lopez and Sandra Fryer. Additional support provided by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Steinberg. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Video promotion by Laura Valencia. Be sure to send us your emails at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey@gmail.com and follow the show at sobaditsgoodwithryanbailey on Instagram. And for additional craziness, go to patreon.com/sobaditsgood. Stay bad, baddies.
Betches.